Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Welcome to episode 3 of our Proverbs Walking in Wisdom series as we continue exploring the rich and powerful truth that's found in this extraordinary book called Proverbs. Now, I also want to take a minute right now, as soon as we get started, and thank all of you that may be joining us here online or in the house for the very first time. Today, you are our very special and honored guests. I have always believed that this should be the best 70 minutes that you'll spend of your entire week. And so we're glad that you're here. And so whether you're here in the house or online, all of us as a family, we want to make you feel at home. Now, today is also a very significant day on the calendar. At least I think so, anyways. Today we celebrate Dad in all his manly glory. So happy Father's Day, gentlemen. And I'd like to wish my own father a happy Father's Day. I love you, Pa, if he's watching today online. You know, Billy Graham once said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. You know what? We have some great dads here at Calvary, dads that serve, dads that give, dads that go the extra mile. So these are the kind of people that over the years I've rubbed shoulders with and had the honor to serve next to. These are guys that come early, they stay late, they lead small groups. They're outstanding individuals. So this morning, if you're here in the house, stand to your feet. We want to honor you and give you all a big hand. Let's give them a big hand this morning. If you're in the watching online, we honor you today as well. And today we give you some emojis, some hand claps for you as well. But we want to pray for you. Wherever you are, whether you're here at the church or any part of the world watching this broadcast, we want to take a minute to bless you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today for all the incredible dads who make such a difference in our church and in our lives. Today, Lord, we speak a special blessing on them and pray that you would be their strength, that in their weakest moments, Lord, your strength would shine true and that your hand would be upon them today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So let me tell you, these all-star dads need to be spoiled today, so get to it, people. Make it happen. Let's treat them like kings today. We love you, dads. And listen, if you've got kids here in the house today, they're going to probably give you a little treat today. So make sure you look and act very much surprised. Now, the relationships that we have with our earthly fathers carry with it great importance. Now, for clarification, a father can be anyone who has intentionally mentored you by passing down their values or multiplying wisdom within your life. And for some of us, that can include our natural fathers. That's certainly the case for me. But it can also be a pastor that God has brought into your life, a coach, a teacher, a favorite uncle, or many other people that God has brought your way that have had with a father's spirit invested into you. And see, that father role is not limited to biological fathers. It can include anyone who chooses to take that time to invest it into your life to help you grow and to learn. People whose wise words and gentle guidance have produced strength and health in your relationships, in your decision making. And that's what we want to talk about today, wise words as they pertain to what God has given us and to what we can pass along to that next generation. But you know what? When we allow past wounds to keep us from receiving the wisdom from those that God has placed in our lives, we give the opportunity to the enemy to damage those relationships and even damage the way that we see God as our Father. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 16, Paul warns us of this when he says, I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Or as Jesus would say, follow me. You know what? We need more men and women within the church like Paul who live their lives every day as an example to others. Not living that life in perfection because we're not perfect people, but endeavoring to live it in such a way that we honor God. Fathers and mothers of the faith instructing and guiding the next generation as they grow and develop. Now, all of us need more wisdom, and the good news is that wisdom can follow us once we start to follow Christ. Wisdom is applied knowledge. And as Pastor Brad said last week, at its core, it's the knowledge of knowing Him. Knowledge in and of itself is simply not enough. It's only when we allow Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit, He will then guide us to know what to do with that wisdom, how to apply it, and when to apply it. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Susan and I attended a great church leaders conference that I was also asked to speak at in Dixon, Tennessee. And I got to be honest with you, it was a little surreal navigating these busy U.S. airports after restrictions have prevented us from doing all of that for a couple of years. And it was packed full of people. We had to go through LAX, and it was wall-to-wall humanity. And so you're just praying for the covering of the Lord and His protection as you kind of move through these busy places. Every time we turned around, we got lined in another long and winding kind of jungle cruise ride that was leading not to a fun boat ride, but to security, right? So you could screen your bags. Not terribly exciting, not the kind of payoff that you want after standing that long, but it was what it was. And travelers and airport staff all seemed to kind of be a little weathered as they kind of showed their tiredness in the ever-changing instructions and all the confusing words and the word salad that the government has provided to try to keep people safe. It has made for a lot of confusion. One plane does it this way, another airline does it this way. One airport follows this rule, another one follows that one. There's no standard, and so it's very, very confusing. So finally we get in a line and we get to a passport checkpoint. They look at our passports, make sure that you got to pull down your mask so they make sure it's you. And then they queue you up to put your carry-on on a conveyor belt. And so the young attendant, security attendant that was kind of bringing us forward seemed a little frazzled. And so she quickly said to Susan, okay, you're next. And Susan went up, then you're next, and I went next to her. And in that split second, she started to help another lady who would come up. Now listen, we understand that in these moments, they have all the authority to ask you to do what you need to do. So our job is to listen very carefully and to obey. Because there's a lot at stake here, right? If you want to get on that plane, then you better follow those instructions very carefully. You better listen to those words and act on them. And so she asked Susan to step up. She did. I started to help her with her bag, and she went, whoa, whoa, have you always been standing there? Susan said, yes. She said, this lady is next in line. And we couldn't believe what we were hearing. In that split second that she had told Susan to step up, she had forgotten what she had said herself, and she advanced the next person in line after she already told us to step up. You see, her confusing words in this moment were confusing everybody in line, including the lady that she was asking to step up in our place. You know, we're living in a day right now where wise words and sound instruction are becoming harder and harder to hear. You see, confusing and contradicting words fill the air, making wisdom a greater challenge to hear, greater than any time in our history, I believe. But you and I have a lot more at stake than missing a flight. You see, eternity is on the line. And hearing those wise words has never been more important, more imperative than it is today. And you know what? King Solomon, with all his incredible wealth, with all the power and the possessions that he had, he understood the incredible value, the great value of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." In Proverbs 16:16, he also said, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver." You see, wise words will always outweigh wealth and power. Someone once defined a proverb as a short sentence with long experience. And you know what? As you travel the world, and as I do, you realize that every country you visit seems to have its own proverbs. It's that distilled wisdom from all these different cultures. Some of these proverbs we've heard time and time again, but never realized where they came from. Here's a well-known Bulgarian proverb that says, "When the cat is away, you know it, the mouse will play." We've heard that so many times, but maybe didn't realize where it came from. There's a Russian proverb that says, "The path is made by walking." A German proverb says, "Tell me who your friends are, and I can tell you who you are." And then here's some English proverbs that we've heard time and time again. "Two wrongs don't make a right," right? "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." "People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones." How about some good old-fashioned dad wisdom? "Don't eat that yellow snow." Listen, trust dad. He knows what he's talking about. Now, obviously, these are all human sayings, but the proverbs of Scripture, which many of these sayings are actually inspired by, carry far more weight. They carry far more power and meaning. You see, these wise words that we read in Scripture, they embody the wisdom of heaven, of kingdom living here on earth, amidst all those other confusing words and instruction. And although we know this wisdom that we read is true, although we've learned to trust it, it doesn't mean that we don't still struggle with it sometimes, especially when it comes to dealing with things in our lives that have been difficult. You see, the path to understanding takes time. Time as we experience it in real time in the areas that we struggle with the most. Timothy Keller said in his book on Proverbs, he said, "Proverbs is not a set of simple steps to a happy life for quick consumption. A proverb is a poetic art form that instills wisdom in you as you wrestle with it." Wise words. Now, beyond all the painful dad jokes that we've heard over the years, most fathers do try to pass along the kind of wisdom that will help to shape their children into who they've been called to be, or the people around us that serve as that father in our lives. You know, today is a great opportunity to celebrate the deep, God-given desire within us to respect, to impress, and to follow those honorable men that God has placed in our lives. These are the men who have helped to shape us, invest in us. Today, on Father's Day, I'm mindful of my pastor, late pastor, our Bishop McDonald, who made such a lasting impression in my life, who on a day like today, we remember people who God put in our lives like that, who've been there to love, to invest, to respect, to pass along words that now we are passing along to others, passing along to that next generation. These are the men who have been patient with us, who've loved us and invested us, who've through that love have given us the kind of stability that we need to mature into competent adults, into strong men and women of God. And I'm a product of that investment. Certainly today I stand having experienced that kind of investment, that kind of patience, that kind of love, primarily because of my dad. And you know what? We still regularly connect to walk out those principles, to work through difficult times. And now I find myself, you know, over the years, now I'm doing that and having those same moments with my boys. So what does the Bible say about fathers? You see, there's so many things we can learn from fathers in Scripture, especially as it relates to the book of Proverbs. But let me give you four today that we can be thankful for in our lives. The first one is that fathers lead families. You see, fathers have an instinct. It's hardwired in them to cast vision and to lead their family. Now, we understand that it's not a perfect process, right? Because we're not dealing with perfect people. There's no such thing. But with God's help, the potential lies within you. It lies within that next generation. I remember this kicking in when my first son was born. I held him in my arms and I realized in that moment a new call to lead, a new responsibility to be an example. And so I had plans, these things that I was going to say and do. Now, have they all been perfect? No. But you know what? I've always leaned into that responsibility instead of running from that responsibility. Now, some of you, I am aware, have had fathers who may have run from that responsibility. And because of it, it's maybe affected you in a negative way. It's caused hurt. It's caused confusion. But I want you to know today that your Heavenly Father has not or will not ever leave you. And He loves you so much. He has such a compassion for you that He will bring other mentors into your life, pastors, teachers, people that hear from God, that are trying to walk out that salvation in their own life, and will be there to help you through some of your most difficult and challenging moments, to help shape you, to help invest in you, that you in turn can do it with others. Now, I believe that the task of leading a family, it still requires bravery. It requires decisiveness. It requires a devotion to God and a commitment to guard and protect those that God has placed in your care. Proverbs 14:26 says, "Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress." That's a safe place. "And for their children, it will become a refuge." That's powerful. So fathers lead families. Number two, fathers are examples. They say that adulthood is often more caught than taught. And I think this is never truer when it comes to children watching their fathers. And this works for the good and the bad. That example is not always the best thing. That monkey see, monkey do dynamic is always in play. You see, they are the examples for their kids. In my lifetime, I have learned more about loving God and loving people from my father than anywhere else. From any other sermon I've heard, from any other individual has impacted my life, I learned more about serving God and walking in faith from him than anybody. I've learned more about marriage and the kind of husband my wife deserves by watching how my dad loves my mom, how they love one another. And you know what? I'm so thankful that we have a church that is intergenerational, where one generation is committed to help mentor and guide the next, where one generation, while serving alongside the next, can be such a godly example of how well this life can be lived. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 4 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me," listen, here we're talking about wise words again. He says, "Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live." Fathers are examples. Number three, fathers gives stability. You see, great dads are the backbone of the family, or at least they should be. They provide this steady foundation, a firm handshake, a big hug when you need it the most. Sometimes it's stability in complete silence. You know, over the years, I think back, I have stood with many other dads at track meets, at soccer games, at field trips, on camping trips, even in hospital waiting rooms, standing oftentimes silently with and for their families, providing strength, providing stability, without a word even being spoken, just being there. You know what? I've experienced it this past week, going through incredibly difficult situations and having my dad on the other end of that FaceTime being able to stand with me, stand knowing that he's praying, that he's loving me, and that he's with me, bringing peace into turmoil. You know, when we read Bible verses about fathers, we see that they provide the kind of steadiness that we all need to look out from our home with the kind of confidence that embraces what's coming next, whatever it may be. I've learned over the years that wise and godly children, they don't just happen. See, the stability that a father provides at home in that safe place that the scripture is talking about is a springboard for children as they step into the world. Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise." Listen, wise children are developed in a stable environment. That's why for so many that have unstable homes or unstable relationship, the church provides a godly covering, a safe place, a home for their children to be taught. I know some incredible single moms who every day are laying it on the line for their kids, who bring them to church faithfully so that they can be taught and trained and influenced by people they trust. Listen, I take my hat off to all of them in those situations. So fathers give stability, so important. And then finally, fathers are loving. Nothing can replace a father's love. Sons need it, daughters need it. Not a week goes by, listen, honestly, not a week goes by that I don't hear my father tell me that he loves me, that he loves my family, that he loves my boys, that he's praying for us, that he's proud of me. Listen, outside of God's love for me, nothing fuels my life and my call more than hearing and knowing those words are true. The kind of love that enables daughters and sons to someday find a husband or wife to love of their own. The way a father loves a child becomes a template for what a child will seek and find in another relationship that God leads them to. God has always meant for this relationship to reflect how he relates to you and I as our heavenly Father. And we see this exemplified in the fathers of the Bible. Proverbs 3:11-12, "My child, when the Lord God speaks to you, never take his words," here's that words again, "never take those words lightly. Never be upset when he corrects you, for the father's discipline comes only from what? From his passionate love and pleasure for you. Even when it seems like his correction is harsh, it's still better than any father on earth gives to his child." Fathers are loving. So, now it's your turn. Honor your dad today. Don't assume that he wouldn't appreciate being celebrated because he's a quiet, reserved kind of person. Tell him you love him. Tell him you forgive him if you need to. Celebrate the men who have made a difference in your life today, the spiritual fathers that God has given you as a gift, that have invested in your life and have helped you at every turn to keep moving forward. May God help us today to embrace the love of our Heavenly Father. And today, if you don't know that love, if you've never experienced it, today is the opportunity that God has planned and ordained for you in this moment. So if that's you, if your heart's beating and you say, Pastor Steve, I need the love of a father I can count on. Or I need to be the father that others can count on. Pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that what you did on the cross, out of your great love that you did for me, thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior and my Father. And help me to live the life you've called me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, I also pray for all the dads today, that God, you would stir up that potential that's within them to be those that can love and provide stability, that can be the example that you've called them to be. God, although we are not perfect, we know that your strength is perfected in our weakness. So today I pray that that strength would be perfected in all the dads as we celebrate them on this special day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take these wise words and heed them. Don't just allow it to be knowledge, but allow it to be the knowledge of who he is within you. God's best to all of you, Calvary. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Have an amazing week. In Jesus' name, amen.